again. So right, we read through the sugya with the Rosh Vilio, because the Rosh Vilio presents an organized, consistent, conceptually coherent understanding of the sugya, right? From beginning to end, he uses it to understand the Isser, the exceptions, the connection to Truma and Bechor and Nevela and Shkatzim, Ramasim, to connect the whole sugya, right? So again, if we summarize it in like 2 minutes, he says, yes, it's true that Shviat Truma Bechor, the Isser is derived from a positive, right? Tzchora is the negation of Achila. Yes, it's true that the other four are from the negative. Tmeim Leim Lechem, or Sheket Zeim Lochem, whatever you think the drasha is, and it's the negative. However, he then says they're justified as being all together because they have one perspective, and it's about you treating it as Tzchora. We noted that in theory you could have that in two ways. One is that it's a problem of expressing Bailus, right, of expressing ownership. The other is that it's a problem of treating it as a commodity or as the object of your business. My tendency is to think it's the latter, just because Bailut doesn't seem to be a relevant category in Shkatzim and Ramasim and the like. Based on this, he argues that even though the Gemara itself seems to present, in the contrast of not kosher food, two formulations. The first one being Isser Hana'ah, the second one being Agzera, that they might eat it, which is why it's only relevant for things which are eaten and not things which are used for work. He says, don't worry about it, because Hana'ah doesn't mean Hana'ah, Hana'ah means Harvacha, right? And it all means the exact same thing. Then, based on that, he says the reason that it's Aser in the context of a partnership but not in a family is because we're talking about specifically a family which is not a partnership, right? And if it's not a partnership, then people don't relate to it, even when there's multiple people selling and the like, as a business deal. It has a different feeling, right? It has a different connotation. He, at several places, talks about the difference of nirin. It's not clear if he means marid ayin, or it means that perception defines context, right? And then, moving to the last sugya, again, he could have theoretically explained that the reason that it's mutter to do business with Peirut Shviat when it's not your only job is because maybe that shows a different perspective. However, he takes the gears of pasul, that it's only about the psul edut, and therefore it is less relevant for our discussion, right? But the Rosh is pretty consistent and explains all the evidence. However, if you go through the Bnei Moshe and Marafulda, Lidati, you get a very, very, very different perspective, or I don't know if you get a consistent perspective, right? So if we look at the Marafulda on the Mishnah and the Bnei Moshe on the Mishnah, so what do you get, right? What do you get? What feeling do you get from them? So what do they say? Yeah, so let's try this. Let's, right? Who do you want to take? You want to take Pnei Moshe? Fine. So the Pnei Moshe says that Sovei Tzavela Atzmo Kedamrin LaKamad Shviya Nit LaTzviya Dechtev Lachem LaTzol Tzorcheichem LaLitzba B'Schar LaFishen Osen V'Chulei LaTzviya B'Schar Havei Schara. Right. So so far, of course, you're being paid. That was the whole point. That's why it's usher, because it's business. Like everyone agrees to that. That's why it's comparable. That's right. Okay, but we haven't gotten there yet, right? He's saying on the Mishnah, we don't know yet about the Tovah Hana'ah thing, right? Right. The Gemara, they ask, what if you do a Tovah Hana'ah? But here it's not with Tovah Hana'ah. Simple case is Schar. That's easy. But then, right, what does he do? V'lo b'becharot, dina b'char demochronoto tamim chai b'zman hazeh she'omid la'achila. V'lo b'zman abayit. Right, nowadays you're allowed to sell a b'char without a mum, but not in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, la'omid la'karban, and la'kohen z'chut bo'kadei la'mochro, because then you're not allowed to, because the kohen, it goes to the kohen, right? U'bal mum mochro, ben b'zman abayit, ben b'zman azeh, ben chai, ben shachu, g'nan l'kamban, b'perakam, b'meser sheni. And the owner is allowed to sell it, alive, dead, etc. V'hachi kamar, avu b'shamut la'mochro k'de amran, mikol mokom lo yaset tam mit z'chora bo. And he says, even though you're allowed to sell it, you can't do it all the time. She'enos in z'chora lo b'chumok. So you don't do business with Truma and Bechor. V'lo b'nevelot. K'digamar b'gamara. D'chol shi yisurum yidivrei Torah. Asur laso b'schora min ha-Torah. K'didarish lami cry. Now, just from reading those lines, what does he seem to say? Why is, based on what we read so far in the Pnei Moshe, why is it asur to do schora with Shviat? He doesn't say. Right? Why is it asur to do business with Bechor or Truma? Because you can sell it, you just can't make it your schora tamid, right? All the time. You can't make it your main job. And not kosher food, how does he understand it? You can't do business. He seemed to say it all, right? He seems to say it all, right? Meaning he does qualify it, but in the Mishnah, right? The Gemara qualifies it, but he doesn't qualify it in the Mishnah. Right. Right, meaning the simple pshat on the Pnei Moshe is exactly that. Is that if you just read the Pnei Moshe on the Mishnah, right? It seems to be is he committed to there being a conceptual link between the different cases? No, right? He doesn't even try, right? Shvi doesn't even explain. Trumot and Bechor he puts in one category, right? And it seems to be a Gzeira D'Rabbanan or something, right? According to him. Not selling not kosher animals. Is it D'oraisa D'Rabbanan? D'oraisa. Sounds like D'oraisa. What about not selling Truman Bechor? D'Rabbanan, it sounds like, right? So according to him, Shemitah is unexplained. Some of these are D'oraisa, some are D'Rabbanan, right? Meh. Right? You continue in the Mishnah. Lo ye lokech yirakot tzadeh, shalo mocher bashok, dezevik alokit perit shvit l'schora. Why is it usher to take your vegetables and sell it in the marketplace? Because it's schora. Avulokit, kolomar, shlokit, latzma, lachila, zemutar. If you pick it for yourself for food, in beno mochal yado, v'chem lakal latzma, lachila, hotar, menu, lamachar, afilu, latzmo, vadam, meshmiyat, hain, bain, kishe, beno mocher, bain, shu, mocher, batzmo. So what does he explain? Nothing. Right? Right? The Pnei Moshe, right? I mean, tell me if you think I'm wrong. Does the Pnei Moshe give you a conceptual explanation on the Mishnah? No. Right? And then if you skip to the Pnei Moshe on the Gemara. Yeah, because it's like doing business. I mean, but he's explained why that's usher? I mean, not really. Right? He explains why they're connected. Correct. It's Nirek Yisrara. You're right. Right? He doesn't even think that's it. Yeah. Right? And if you look on the Gemara, right? He doesn't really say much, right? Skip down to, right, Nunvava Medalev, all the way to Chamish al Malakht, and that's the main sugya. So he says that a kol biyachad, if five people sell together, lefik shemoch harpa biyachad, evik eschora. If you sell a lot, it's schora. Good. So the Pnei Moshe, I think this is the first time you see anything. According to the Pnei Moshe, who does he seem to hold like? No. The Rambam and the... And the second day in Tosfot, simply that what defines schora? A lot or a little. Right? Right? That's the only time he seems to have a suggestive formulation, right? And a kol biyachad, lefik shemochar harbe biyachad, if you sell a lot, have a kishora.
But it doesn't say simply that. It says it's anything but have a kishora.
Right. And then he says, klomar aval mocher al yad al yad, betchila et shalom hachach et shalom zed, v'chevin mocher man ma'ad, lo mechli kishora. And if you sell it one by one, it doesn't look like schora.
But
right?
Before, what you were saying before, it seemed like he defines looking like, not as far a scientific issue, but as
maybe. Right? Right? And then he says, right, in the context of Bechor, he says, right, or the Palter, he says, Vinet, if you do it in the same place all year, then Nirikos is Chor Tamid Bohen. It looks like you're doing business with them, all of them. Right. Right. So according to him, right? Right, if I had to guess, what would you say, right? According to Bnei Moshe, how does he understand the sugya? Right. Now, according to him, first of all, do you think, maybe I'm wrong, but according to Bnei Moshe, do you think that he's committed to the idea that all the Isurim here are conceptually the same?
No,
I don't think at all. I don't think at all.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think at all. Right? Does he think that there are certain similarities?
Sure.
Yeah, meaning he doesn't... He seems to think more than... I don't think he goes as far as saying these are things that there's some sort of isser to sell, right? I don't think he goes that far. But he does say, look, Shviat, he doesn't really explain so much. He says selling a lot is problematic because it's near Kishara, which sounds Rambam-like, sounds Second Day Antosut-like, sort of. Right? By Bechor, he sort of says that a little bit. By... Not kosher food. He assumes that that's D'oraisa, where the ones by Bechor and Truma might be only D'rabbanan,
so what,
right?
What
okay, so first, do you think that he has a unified conceptual model?
Yes.
Do you? I don't. think he's committed to a unified conceptual model. I don't think he is. If he does, what would you say it is?
First of all, you label all these as Kisvora, which either implies that you think there's an actual Isvora, that like it is Svora with first reason you do it, or there just is no Isvora and it's only everything is always Kisvora.
Right, so the problem is that he doesn't, by non-kosher food, he says it's Doraisa. Right? It seems to think it's Doraisa. Right? Well, he never really says it, but it might be, but by Truma it doesn't seem to be. Right? Right, so it's not clear to me. Now, again, so I when I read the Pnei Moshe, my feeling is that he's not committed to believing this is a unified model the way the Rosh Aurelio is. Right? Are there similarities? There seem to be. Right? Meaning he does, right? He uses Nirin a lot. Right, and he does seem to think that the problem is not.
There's no such thing as mirrored by trafos and stuff like that because everything's also that.
Right there, even though it's not everything, right? As we know, it's not everything, right? Okay. That's the problem. But he doesn't really explain it, right? He doesn't explain it too much, right? There, he says whatever it's also, it's really intrinsically also. Everywhere else, it's near. So again, does he think it's about an attitude? Maybe. Right? What is the conceptual model? I'm honestly not sure what the Pnei Moshe.
He says that when Hashem created the world, he says it's a different type of mirror.
It could be that at some level he unites them in the sense that he thinks that all of them are in one way, shape, or form, right? One way or another, it's about don't do some sort of business deal, but the parameters are different, right? He doesn't seem to be able to totally unify. You're right, there's certain similarities, but I couldn't honestly pin it down, right? Because he sounds like, right? Because he sounds like by Shviat and by, right, by Trefod, it's more intrinsic. By Truma Bechor, less intrinsic,
so,
right?
So
I honestly don't know.
So he's one of those people that say that he just brought it because why not?
So I tend to think that, yeah, right? I mean, I tend to think that according to him, right? No, but so that's exactly my point. Is that my feeling reading the Pnei Moshe was that he thinks that they're brought together because, in a certain sense, they're similar. Not because they're the same, but there's certain similarities, and therefore you can't draw, right? You can't draw direct parallels between them, right? And therefore, there might be similarities, but it's not like the Rosh Aurelio, where what is true in one model is true elsewhere. I don't know. That was my feeling when I read him. And that's why I said, you know what, right? I mean, am I wrong? I think that's what he's saying. I honestly, it could be that you could tease one out, and there are certain similarities for sure, but he just doesn't, I don't know. That was the feeling I got. I'll be honest, I didn't have a very different. Now, okay, the Marafulda, part of me thinks that in the Marafulda also, but the Marafulda had one line that made me think not that way. Okay? What did the Marafulda say? Why is it Aser Bebechora to Trumot? Dilma Mashi Leli Gabei V'ati Lidei Takala. What did he say? What's the problem of selling Bechor and Truma? So first of all, he says Derabanan, right? But why is it Derabanan? Because if you are allowed to sell it, what are you going to do? You're going to hold on to it. And if you hold on to it and they're kadosh, what might you end up doing? Misusing it. Right? Misusing it. Right? So I would have said, right, if I stopped there, the Marafolda, right, then I would suggest the following. When you see the Marafolda, just that one line, what do you think? What does that make you think of? Which model of Schora? Rashi. Right? Very good. Right, when I saw the Marafolda, I said, okay, if you think that Truma and Bechor, that the Isser of Schora is because if you hold on to it, you might end up misusing it, right? Then that makes a lot of sense if, right? Remember we said that you could come up with an easily unified model of the entire Mishnah if you follow Rashi's model, that Schora is just an Isser that it's the same as Ein Mosrin Demei Perot Shviat Lam Aretz. It's just, if you sell it, you know what's going to happen to it. Right?
Yeah.
Marafulda thinks that's true of Truma and Bechor. Right? Of Truma and Bechor. Now, he doesn't seem to think that's true of Shviat. right? He doesn't seem to be Jewish Rebbe. But the way the Marafulda understands Truma and Bechor lends me to believe that you could create a unified model. Ah, so now you'll tell me what Shkasim or Ramasim. So the Marafulda, does the Marafulda think Shkasim or Ramasim is about Xera? Right? Does he think it's about Xera? That you might mess up? No, he doesn't. Right? He doesn't. Right?
So what's he saying then?
Well, one second. He doesn't seem to think by, it's not clear what he says by Shviat. By the Shkatzim Ramasim case, he doesn't think that's Xera, right? But someone want to offer me a, right? Wow. Someone want to defend, even though he doesn't think it. Why would you take what he says by Truma and Bechor and carry it over to Shkatzim and Ramasim? What would be the logic to do that? What would be the justification for making that move? Yeah, and where does it sound that way in the Gemara? Well, what's the? There's a very good piece of evidence. What's the piece of evidence? Right, he doesn't take this bait, but what bait could you have taken? The Yerushalmi itself. Remember, the Yerushalmi had two formulations, Asur Bahana, and then it said, "Oh, but it's only things that are Asur that you normally eat. But if it's not something you normally eat, right?" Like a gamal, then you're allowed to sell it. And what do we say if you just froze that line? What is the simple pshat of that line? Okay. That shkasim or amasim, the reason you can't sell them is also... No. Is that if you sell something that's normally eaten and is not kosher, what will happen? Someone will end up eating it, which means... That if you follow that line, the Yerushalmi, then it's possible that Shkasim and Ramasim, why is it Asur to sell? Gzera Mishum Takala. Right? Now, the Marafulda himself doesn't seem to take this, but who does? In a Hanami. But if you think that Isur Schora is just a series of Gzera that's meant to protect it, it's not crazy to say, why are these organized? Because there's a bunch of things that for one reason or another, you can't sell them because you'll end up messing up. Right? That's a pretty neat conceptual organization. So, let's review. Who said, if we wanted to construct that position, here's how we would do it. By Shviat, by Schor Shviat, who thinks that the Isur Schor Shviat is about some sort of Gzera of protecting Perish Shviat? Rashi. Who thinks that Truma and Bechor is some sort of Gzera to protect it? Marafulda. Right? Who thinks that Shkasim or Ramasim Lemaskana is just exerted to protect people from eating not kosher. So Yerushalmi is not clear what its maskana is, but, and this is why if you just look at the sheet I gave you, there is a big name, and that's the Rashba. The Rashba says it. This other Rashba understands it lahalacha, and this is, by the way, quoted lahalacha by the Beis Yosef. This actually becomes the dominant view, I think, in halacha. Is this, so if you look at what I just gave you, I gave you just two lines in the Rashba, right, he says, Shekol shehu min advarim shemegadel otam la'achila, anything which is raised for food, kichazir, like a pig, ushar amina asurim behema, over other forbidden animals or birds, shederech bnei adam legadlan gedel ochlan, and the way that people raise it for food, v'she'ein ruban omdim latashmishan, asur la'an batzotzchore, you can't do business with it. Why? Gzera shemeyavo lechol mehem. Because Gzera, you might end up eating it. Right? So the Rashba, the Rashba doesn't tell you how he explains the first line of the Yerushalmi. But he does tell you that La Halacha, that second line of the Yerushalmi that implies that the whole thing is just a Gzera because you might end up eating it. What? Asmachta. It's Asmachta. He'll tell you it's an Asmachta. Right? Here, you want to look? Again, I gave you this. I will tell you as follows. There is a machloket amongst the achronim whether the dominant view is that it's daraisa darabanan. How do you like that, okay? There's a machloket amongst the achronim whether the dominant view is that it's daraisa darabanan. Right? Many think it's daraisa. No, Yehuda thinks the dominant view is that it's daraisa, right? But I think the majority of achronim think that the majority of the rishonim thought it was darabanan. This is a lot of nafkamin as lehalacha. But I think, again, the Ralfolda doesn't go in this direction. But if you ask me, if you wanted to construct a Rashi-like sugya, it'd be very simple. You take Rashi on Schara, the Marafolda on Truma and Bechor, and the Rajba on Shkasim, Ramasim, Nevelot, and Trefot. And now you have seven cases, which are all really a Xera that if you sell it, you might end up messing up. The Zo? What? Yeah, I'm saying it's...
According to the Marafolda, why is it... So you're going to end up holding on to it if you're allowed to sell it?
Say again?
You're going to end up holding on
to it. If you're allowed to sell it, you're going to hold on to it until you get the best price. It'll be in your property longer. Yeah.
You're more likely to sell it, too. If you're like, you're more likely to get rid of it by opening up an avenue to sell it.
I don't know. You want to argue the logic. But this is what he says, that if you can sell it and treat it as business, you'll end up holding on to it longer because you'll wait for the best price, and it'll be a problem. But again, so what I think, therefore, is that you have... If you want to create a unified view, so you can go with the Rosh Terilio, which is, it's about perspective, right? It's about treating it as an owner or treating it as a commodity, right? And that explains all the evidence, right? If you want to go to the opposite extreme and go the Rashi route, you can combine Rashi plus the Marafolda plus the Rajba, and you say they're unified in a very not elegant conceptual way, which is, yeah, there's nothing really fundamental to see here, right? Nothing interesting to see. It's a bunch of Xero, right? The only model that I think just really doesn't, which is the model that tells you that this must be multiple, this must be distinguished models, distinct models rather, is the first Dan Tosfot, right? Meaning, if Schora is Usur because it connects to the Kitzira, right? Then that does not lend itself to a direct parallel in anything which doesn't have an Isser of Kotzer, right? And therefore, you're going to end up in a place where, to be fair, the Pnei Moshe and the Marafolda both seem to be, which is the Mishnah isn't trying to unite this in one conceptual model. It's just not. I mean, there's just nothing comparable to it, right? If you hold like that day and Tosfot, that the Isser is not because of perspective, it's because it sheds light on the Kitzira, that's just not a direct parallel to anything else. And I think once you have the Pnei Moshe, right? The Pnei Moshe and the Marafolda I can use to construct other Shito, right? Agreed. But I think at the end of the day, the Pnei Moshe and the Marafolda are just not committed to believing that this is a conceptually organized... I don't know. That's what I think. I don't know what to tell you. Okay. Fine. So, with that in mind, now what I want to do, okay, and if we finish this today, great, is say, fine. So, we've spent a lot of time now trying to organize all of them, but let's now forget about organizing all of them, okay? Let's focus on the main Schora Sugya itself, which is the five plus one, right? There are three cases. What are they?
There's the
partnership, which is Usur.
You and one other
family.
Oh, there's the you and one other person.
You and your son, you or one other person, that's Mutter. Partnership, Usur. And brothers, where even where it's a lot of people, it's Mutter. So now let's try to plug that in to every Shita if we can. Okay? You ready? Right? Now, in case you want help, right? At least some of the work is done by our friends at Art Scroll, right? By the way, if you followed here, right? While you were reading through it, try to look at the footnotes? The footnotes here are actually quite, I mean, they're always good, but here they were actually very, very good. What? You say long, I say good. Same thing, right? How about we compromise? They were extensive. I reread it yesterday while I was working out, yes. Yes. Why not? So let's try to plug it in, okay? You go through the footnotes, they'll do a lot of interesting plugging in, but we'll do what we can, okay? So first of all, I have a Nun Bet Amun Bet. I have a Chilufei Gerso, where they try to summarize a lot. Okay, for me, I have it in footnote 4 on Nun Bet Amun Bet on the first page. On the Mishnah, right? They do it first in the Mishnah, right? They do a summary there.
The definition of business?
Yeah, that one. Right? What? Right? Yeah, you want to give me, so I don't read it in the Hebrew, I'll read it in the English for a second for you. Okay, 1 second. This is going to fly. Okay. Right? So let me read you some of it, and then we'll go through it. Right? They don't explain everything, but okay. The definition of business. So they have a nice summary, and this should be your chazara. So, okay, if you have been lost, so here we go. Definition of business. Rishonim differ as to what type of transaction is prohibited under the restriction against doing business with Shviat produce. We have followed Rash, who maintains that business means gathering Shviat produce from the field for the purpose of selling it, then carrying out the sale. The Torah declared Shviat produce hefker for all to gather from the field and to eat, not to gather and sell for profit. Rash adds that it is reasonable to assume that the process of buying and selling for profit is equally prohibited, though in his view, the verse that actually includes doing business with Shviat produce actually deals with taking the produce from the field and selling it, right? So the Rash, remember we saw this in the Rash Shirilio, that he takes Tosfot, but he doesn't really hold like Tosfot, right? Meaning Tosfot, as we understood it based on the Rav, thinks that the Isser is because it's really an Isser Kotzer. Right? And therefore, buying to sell is not going to violate. But as we saw in the Rosh Terilio, he thinks that that's not contrary to what?
Just buying it.
To buying. And that's because the Rosh Terilio, as he understands the Rosh, thinks that it's really about perspective. Right? It's about how you treat it. And therefore, it's not fundamental to picking it to sell. It's picking to sell or buying to sell. Any way in which you treat it as merchandise is a problem. Right? That's distinct from Tosfot as we understood him. Right? Another opinion is that of Re maintains the biblical prohibition against business pertains only to buying or gathering large quantities of produce and selling them commercially to generate profits. It's permitted biblically to buy and sell small quantities of shviat in order to generate cash for short-term food expenses. The rabbis, however, prohibited selling even small quantities in a business-like manner. Re understands our mission differently than Rosh, his approach we discussed in the variants. Fine. Ramban holds a third opinion. Right? What was the Ramban? Same as Ritva, by the way. Is that mean the oraita skara is only violated if you sell it for something that the kedusha will be lost? And if the kedusha isn't lost, then it's only midarabanan. It's usher, right? So he says, in his view, it's permitted under biblical law to buy and sell any amount of produce as long as the proceeds of the sales are used for the purchase of food that will themselves acquire shviat sanctity. The biblical injunction to eat but not do business does not exclude this transaction since the funds generated by the sales of shviat produce are used for eating sanctified food. Fine.
Well, he probably would still think it's usher if the kedusha is still fixed, but the person is selling food would use it improperly.
What?
We still say it's usher if the kedusha was still fixed, but the person is...
Correct, but it might be the usher, right, of Mesirat, of Moser Dmei Pera Shviat Lam Aretz. Okay. So now with that in mind, they try to start plugging it in. Which is, why is there a difference between you picking it and someone else picking it? So, according to Tosfot, number one, it's obvious. The Isser is one of Kotzer. If there's no connection between the picker and the seller, there's no Isser, right? Okay? Now, the second day on Tosfot, who says that it's a difference between big and small quantity, so Tosfot there has a second point, right? Which is, the D'oraita says only if you sell a lot, but midrabanan, there's also an Isser to make it look like business, and that depends on context, right? If you make it look business-like, it's usher even if it's a small quantity, right? So that's now the addition of Re.
Five people, it's small quantity,
so therefore, according to the Re, so he says, first of all, al-yado... So he has a chiddush. He says, you know why your son can sell it al yado? It doesn't mean for you. You know what it means? That next to you. It means he can sell it in the field. Because in the field, it doesn't seem business-like. But in the market...
So that is shady business, I want to do it.
Right? And therefore, what does he say? It's not d'oraisa, but it's d'rabanan. If you sell it in the market, you sell it not in the market, then it's... Right, then it's fine.
What did he say about what Tosfot says?
Okay. And according to this, he says that really when it says son, it doesn't mean it, because you could sell it yourself. Right?
That makes more sense.
Right, and he says that the Chiddush is that even though the sun is there waiting to sell, the second that you finish picking, that isn't enough to make it look businesslike. Now, how does he deal with lokeach? No, it means lokeach, right? It means lokeach. Right, now lehalacha, therefore, according to Ri and Rash, right, not the first Dan Tosfot who thinks the only way to violate is if you pick. Right, according to him, fundamentally, buying or picking aren't different. It's about where you sell it and how you sell it. Right? Now, the Gra, as we saw, is the hardest here. Because the Gra says that the Isser Schorah is only when you buy to sell. Right? That is the only time it's Asr, when you buy to sell. And therefore, he explains the Mishnah means to distinguish between buying and picking. The first, right, this is the opposite of Tosfot. The first clause teaches that one may not buy vegetables in the field and sell them in the marketplace. And the next one teaches that one may pick and have his son sell them. The reason for the permit in the latter case is not that the person makes the sale, that another person makes the sale, but it's that the sale takes place away from the market. Nor that the sale takes a place away from the market. Rather, the reason is that business is defined specifically as buying produce and selling it. So according to this approach, when the Mishnah mentions that one's son may sell the produce that he picked, it informs us that not only the father, but even the son may sell it, because what might you have thought?
The father sold to his son?
That since he's giving it to his son, it's like buying to sell, kamash malan, that if your son sells it in your behalf, even though it has a transference of property, right, it's transferred hands, since you didn't sell it to your son, it's mutter. Okay? So now if we jump forward to the case of five, right, the five partners. So now let's plug all the shittot in. So how do we plug it in? Do they do it here? No. Okay, they don't do it here. Here, take it back. Thank you. Right? So now let's jump to the 5 and 1. Let's try to do the plugging in. And if we need help, I have the Chazon Ish for you and the right, so now let's distinguish again. So now let's jump to the 5 case. How do you understand the 5 case?
The first Tosfos would say,
so let's go, wait.
A small number. If I have
people, so good. If you think that it's about large and small quantities, right, like that Shita and Ri, then it's very simple. 5 and 1 is, it goes like this. 5 is a problem because you're selling a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Now, what's the problem you're going to have to explain according to that Shita?
Why brothers are allowed.
Because isn't it a big quality?
You say 5 is still a small amount, and the case of the brothers is, the case of the brothers, it doesn't look like business. It's still a small amount.
Okay, right. So you could say, look, it's a medium-sized amount, and therefore it's not asr midaraisa, right? But it is nire, right? It's on the level of derabanan, and therefore it's going to depend on the context,
yeah.
Right? That's what you would probably have to say according to that shita. Now, what about? Let's go back. According to the shita in Tosfot, that you only violate if you pick it yourself. So what's the difference?
Well, in the first case, you're selling your own bread. And in the second and third case, you're only selling everybody else's.
Let's go through the case. When you sell, why is it also when you sell for your partnership?
Because you're also selling your own. You picked it and you're selling it. You're
off the end. Oh, okay, fine. Right? So this is right how the Ziv Hayam right explains. He said if it's a partnership, it seems to be us or why. Because it's as if you sold it, right? As if you picked it and sold it, right? You've connected it. Right? So why are you allowed to sell for you and your friend? Havla'ah. No, Havla'ah. Right? Because according to him, what do you mean? You're selling your own. Right? How could, just because I'm selling my friends, right? The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, I'm selling for a partner, it was also, but I'm selling for me and someone else.
Do we have a restaurant that's six people, not five people?
It doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter, right? It seems
but
to be... Ah, not if it's a partnership. Because since it's all yours, not have law, you're selling on behalf of yourself.
It's not that you only own 20% of it. It's that you own...
You own 20% of the whole thing. Shit. Right, you own... Right, you're a... Right, you don't... I mean, you can't... When you have a partnership, you all own the business. Wait. Exactly. Right? Now, according to him, right, so why would it help with brothers? Exactly. Right, because since you don't have a formal relationship with your brothers, right, that's the Chiddush, right? According to Tosfot, right, according to Tosfot, you only violate if you pick. So a partnership is viewed as if you pick, right? If it's your brothers, it's not. Now, why might you be allowed to sell just for one other person, which does seem to be implied by the Mishnah? So maybe Havlah, if you think Havlah is a heter and not just... It's not just a way of preventing Demei Peret Shviyat or mottering Mosrin Demei Peret Shviyat Lam Aretz, right? What about according to the Gra? It sounds like right, that's enough to connect you to it. Yeah. Now, what about according to the Gra? Right? What about according to the Gra? Right? Remember, the Gra says you only violate Midaraisa if you buy to sell. So how is he going to read this?
Didn't buy...
Right, exactly the opposite. Is he's going to have to say that, right, the exact opposite of what we just said, is that a partnership, that what?
Should be
usher. Right, remember Josh just said, oh, according to Tosfot, a partnership is usher because you don't own 20% of the company, you own 20% of
100%. So he says you own 20%.
Exactly, right, for the Gra, you're going to have to flip it, and you're going to have to say, no, a partnership is usher, why... Because since we each own 20% of the company, right? Anything we do, we're constantly, essentially, buying and selling to each other, right? Because if I take... I didn't say you were going to love it, right? Right? And therefore, according to him... Right? I'll read you his line. Right? And he says, the Chiddush is, according to the Gra, the Avagav Dol Chilku Adayin Ve'ein Kam Lokeach Gomor... He says, you're not a full lokeach, right? Maybe you like this formulation better. It's not a full lokeach. He said, it's ki'ilu, Mordechai. He said, it's ki'ilu you're buying and selling. Why?
Because you don't own the fruit.
Right, meaning because we have a business deal where what, right? I have to get 20%. So if you're making money off one part, I'm going to have to pay you back with something else in the company. Right? And so the Zivayam continues exactly like Mordechai, which is that's crazy. And he just doesn't understand it, right? Because he says, I mean, he just says it's very hard to. I mean, he says that might be what the Gra means, but it really is hard to believe it. Right, and right, he goes through a whole, right, if you want to read his whole thing, right, he says, this is what he suggests for the Gra, but he says it really is hard, right, it really, really is hard, right, it's hard. He also notes that according to the Gra, what, he has another problem on the Gersa, and that is?
Okay.
And why five? Right, meaning according to the Re, where quantity matters, so five, okay, it's telling you that a lot is more problematic. According to the Gra,
they just chose a number. It's okay.
That's going to be the answer, and that's going to be what you probably have to say, right? And that's probably what you're, no, in a Chananya, that's probably what you're going to have to say, right? So what do we have? So according to the Re, right, again, if you think it's about quantity, so it's very simple. The Re is going to say, listen, selling it a lot would be asking me to rise. Selling with five is already some sort of borderline. If you do it with... Either you think that it is a lot, and when you do it as a family, it's mutter anyways, right? Or they'll say, no, five is not that much, so it's only Dirabban because it's Nira Kishara. But it's Nira Kishara if you do it as a business deal, and not Nira Kishara if you do it as a family, right? And that's how he's going to understand it, right? if you think that it's about, you only violate if you picked it, like the first day in Tosfot. So you'll have to say, a partnership, we pick it together, right? It's more than shlichut, right? Shlichut might be mutter, as we saw, because maybe all you need is a shinui. But this is more than shlichut, right? Because we're a partnership, and therefore we're doing this together, and that's why it's also every other case is mutter, right? If you think that it's about your perspective, right? It's a broader vision, which is the Rosh Cirilio, right? Some combination of the Rambam and the Rosh and Tosfot, right? Some combination, but it's about perspective, so it's very easy, right? When it's a partnership, my perspective is, I'm treating it as a commodity, I'm treating it as an owner. When it's a family, I'm not, right? Now, what if you hold like Rashi, that it's all zero? I don't know. You just say, listen, it's about shinui. A partnership, right? According to Rashi, all you really need is a shinui. So what would you say? That if you have a partnership, the normal way of selling it is one person on behalf of the company. That's how companies work. You delegate responsibilities. And therefore, the fact that one person doing for five is not abnormal. In a family, right? Yeah, it's not a natural unit, right? Meaning, it's a natural unit, but it's not a natural selling unit, right? And therefore, it's like a shliach and it's mutter. And the chiddush is that even though you are a family, right, it's still called a shinoi. And as we said, according to Rashi, all you need is a shinoi, that might be enough, right? Now, again, he goes through the possibility. Right, and if you want, right, he goes through the whole question of why you would think each of these models. Right, he does a nice job, but I think, right, have we explained all of them now? I think we have, right? We've explained all four, right? We've explained, right, Rashi, we've explained quantity, Tosfot, good, and we've explained Gra, right, and Rashi, so four and a half, however you want to take it, right? So in the end of the day, I think, again, just to summarize, right, the major question that we asked on this Yerushalmi, okay, were already on the Mishnah. It was first of all, how do you, right? Do you think this is one unified, right? Is it unified or not? The Rosh Rilio said yes. It's all about perspective. According, you could construct a Rashi-like perspective, combining Rashi, the Rashba, and the Marafolda, and say it's all a Gzera. According to Tosfot, that it's about connecting Kotzer to selling. It's basically impossible, right? To think that they're conceptually linked, right? They're just practically linked, right? Fine. Then, what is the difference between five? Five is business partners, brothers, one, whatever. So again, if you think it's just about a shinui, so you would say, shutfus is not a shinui, family already, shinui, selling with it, shinui. If you think it's about quantity, so especially if you hold like the Ri, you might say, listen, a big quantity is daraisa, and if it's not daraisa, then what you have to do is make it look not business-like. If you're a partnership, it looks business-like. If you're a family, it's not. What? Right, so then he might say havla, because remember, Rashi thinks havla is mutter, I don't know. Right? Right, and that's, right, so it could be, right, you always have that in the background that two people, it might be that it's mutter because it's havla, right, and that, but if you think havla is matir, right, which the Rashi really does, right? If you think it's about perspective, so again, partnership is different than family. If you think it's about buying, specifically only buying, like the Gra, so you'd say, listen, a partnership, something like either it's implied that you bought from each other, or by buying, it doesn't mean buying. He means that you've engaged with it directly as a commodity. So a partnership, even without buying, is like that, or something like that. Family is not like that. You and your, right, your brother is not like that. You and one other person, maybe havla, I don't know, right? I don't know. Or you didn't buy it, you're doing it on his behalf, right? Okay. And that really takes us through the, right, that main case, right?
Maybe I should read the next part about the fisherman type of thing with his opinion on Talmud, on doing Talmud.
Yeah, probably, right? Now, again, right, the shinuyim, so again, what is palter? Is it doing it all the time? Is it where you sell it, right? The Ri thinks it also matters where you sell in that Durabana. I don't want to get too much into that. Then, again, just to finish it off,
extra shinois, like if you go into the marketplace, it's very clearly
yeah, business. Yeah. Okay, and then again, just the last point to make is just the last sugya in the Yerushalmi, right, which was the case of, is this your only business? So again, if you think that this sugya is either only, right, is only about the psul eda, this is not relevant, right? If you think that it's actually possible to be matir, schora, as long as it's not your only job, right, you read it that radically.
People don't say that if they are part of, if they work for two businesses, unless it's like really a side gig.
Yeah, but so I agree with you.
People who have two businesses and they say that they are involved with both, and it's
no, according to Rashi,
business practices in both.
Right. No, so I agree with you that it is really.
According to Rashi, it should be fine though.
Sorry, I agree with you that it is really, really quite relevant. Right, now according to Rashi, very good. So according to Rashi, again, if it's about Xerod and stuff like that, I mean, it's always possible that you'll say, well, it's a Shinoi, I don't know. You can come up with something. What? Right now, I will just point out that So the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid, I will just point out, yeah. So the Aruch HaShulchan of all people does seem to actually think that five is specific. Okay? Most people don't. He actually thinks the Chiddush is that five is the cutoff on a lot. Right? He says, if you go with a that it's a lot versus a little, so he said five is a lot. Five, right? In this context, and he says, so why are brothers mutter? So then he comes up with the Chiddush and he says, what's the Chiddush of the Gemara that five is mutter? Because five brothers are like one person, and therefore it's not considered.
Five,
okay. Okay. I don't know what to tell you. That's what he says. Okay. That's what he says. Right. He says if you sell five, it's avshe milta. It's too much. Right. But if it's five brothers, ibnei shekulin nechsham keecha. They're all one, so it's okay. Okay, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Okay.
We sell our brothers.
No, I'm
sell
brothers. No.
Oh, yes.
Yes, all of Am Yisrael who sell milk once in a time. The point is that you need to be cohesive unity of brothers.
Yes, yes, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Sure. Great. Okay. Just the last case. Give me the English to see if you have a summary of it. If not, I'll read it from the Hebrew. And then we will finish. Amazing. So just on the last point here. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let me just read it. We followed Rosh Aurelio's text according to which the Brisa states that only one who has another occupation remains fit to adjudicate or testify after the fact. But even such a person is prohibited to deal in Shviat Pros in the first place. Rosh, however, follows the printed text which states, Mutter, it is permitted, meaning that one who has another occupation in other years is allowed to deal in Shviat Pros, and the restriction against dealing of it pertains only to one who does not who does this as his sole occupation. The obvious question is, why should this be permitted when the prohibition against doing business shviyat produce is derived from Scripture? And Scripture does not exclude one who has another occupation. Again, we talked about already Daraisa Darabanan earlier. Some commentators explain that Yehuda actually means here that one who has another occupation and chances upon shviyat produce is permitted to sell it, because selling something that one merely chances upon is not defined as doing business. Thus, Rabbi Yehuda follows his own opinion in the Mishnah, where he stated that one who has chanced upon non-kosher creatures while going this way is permitted to sell them. He states here that the same applies to Shviat produce. In either case, the restriction against doing business with a prohibited item does not pertain to one who has another occupation and chanced upon it, this item. The rabbis of our Mishnah, who dispute Rabbi Yehuda in regard to the sale of non-kosher creatures, also dispute his ruling in regard to selling Shviat produce. They consider the sale prohibited even when one has another occupation and chanced upon the prohibited item, though they concede that the seller is not distinguished from adjudication or testimony of his another occupation. This is the position of the Truvos Menachem Azaria on the Tosas Rid. Okay? Rosh actually suggests that when Rabbi Yehuda states in the Mishnah, even one who chants upon a prohibited item while on his way may take and sell it, provided it does not become his occupation, he does not refer to non-kosher creatures, but also to Shviat produce. Thus, Rabbi Yehuda maintains that the biblical prohibition against business only pertains only to making the sale of Shviat produce one's occupation. Okay? Now he notes there are other explanations, right? The Zivayam has a different, the Tosafot Rid. Right? I don't know, he's some modern Mefarish that right? I'm not really sure. I'm saying he's a very, very modern position. You have the full one, right? So I can read the Tosafot Rid, pass me that. If I'll quickly read you the Tosafot Rid if I can find him, and then we will finish with this.
This caused so many headaches, Rabbi.
Oh my God! It's a very hard sugya. It's a very, very hard sugya. Dalit rega, dalit bet.
My final brain cells dissolving as we finally.
But then life begins anew. You have been reborn.
Does he have the Tosus Rid? The Tosus Rid. Let's see. No. Let's see if we're near. If I Mara Yalkut. Wait. Oh wait. What did I? Oh wait. I gave you one more thing, right? I gave you a. What did? Oh guys. Yeah. Just Hara. Right, I just noted that I just found last night that Rav Asher Weiss does seem to say something like what I said, right? Okay. And I sent you a Marit Pnim, right? Now the Marit Pnim just points out that the 5-1 he seems to think this is the source of the Rambam distinguishing in quantities, right? Okay. I got it. Shkoyach. Okay, guys, so here's the story. Guys, did you want to take a day and sort of flesh out some halacha lemaaseh on selling non-kosher food? Right, I mean, I gave you this very... Right, what? I gave you... This is the very, very... Okay, it's up to you what you want to... But, okay, here's what we'll do. If... Tomorrow, I don't make it for sheer because the roads are closed because of snow, which is a distinct possibility. Because there's supposed to be like at least 20 centimeters in the gush, so and that closes the roads. So guys, centimeters. So guys, if okay.